This is our first fall together as a new Pathways Baptist Church. First fall. We've been functioning as a new church for some 9 months now, and it has been a very busy and exciting 9 months. In 9 months together, God has birthed a new church, a new congregation, a new staff, and many new ministries. And we know that we are far from where God is leading us to be. We're still working on our new budget, our new ministries, our new constitution and bylaws, our new strategic plan as God's new Pathways Baptist Church. And we have some exciting plans ahead of us. First, a mission statement. We'll be proposing a mission statement we developed, and it goes this way: following Jesus, loving people, bringing hope. Is it that simple but perfect? Following Jesus, loving people, bringing hope. Can you say it with me? Following Jesus, loving people, bringing hope. For the next 3 Sundays, I and fellow pastors Eddie and Paula will be sharing messages on each of these 3 themes. A second big event is, as you heard, next Sunday, September 18th, is a congregational business meeting. And after worship, we'll be having a luncheon and a meeting. And at this meeting, we'll be celebrating all that God has done over the last nine months and discuss some exciting next steps as a church. And again, look at your worship guide for what you can bring. A third great thing that's going to happen is on October 2nd, where we're going to begin a study called 40 Days of Purpose. Some of you may have done something like this before, but never as Pathways Baptist Church. So beginning in October, we'll be doing an all-church sermons and in-depth study in all of our groups as to what God's purpose is for you and for me on His earth. There'll be all kinds of special events during those weeks, and we'll end on November 20th with a big Sunday before Thanksgiving celebration together. It'll be a full Sunday of celebration, singing, baptisms, new members, and joy, followed by a gathering in the gathering area where we'll share in a big church cake to celebrate our unity. Amen? All that is right before the Christmas season, as if nothing goes on around here. So I want you to turn to somebody and I want you to say to them, I'll see you there. All right. Following Jesus, loving people, bringing hope. Isn't that a great mission statement for Pathways Baptist Church? Following Jesus, the first theme. These are good words to begin a church mission statement. You begin with Jesus. I'd like to remind you of a story of the pastor that did children's sermons, as I've done many times in my life, and he had all the children come up front, and he said to the children, okay, children, what's gray, jumps from tree to tree, has a bushy tail, and eats nuts? Silence. He said, okay, I'll try it again. What's gray, jumps from tree to tree, has a bushy tail, and eats nuts? And finally, little Jackson raised his hand. He says, okay, Jackson, what is it? He says, it sounds like a squirrel, but I bet I'm supposed to say Jesus. And Jackson was correct. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, who is God. In John 14, 8 to 9, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? In Colossians 1, 16 to 17, it talks about how Jesus is the creator and sustainer of the universe. It says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's why Thomas, finally, when he realized that he was standing before Jesus, who was God, he bowed in John 20, 28. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. It all begins with, and it's all about Jesus. The Jesus who is God and who saw all of humanity, all of us, you and me, in a hopeless plight spiritually and eternally. The Jesus who knows very well, as it says in his word in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And 6:23, and the wages of that sin is death. In Hebrews 9:27, how it tells us that we are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. All of us will answer before God. Without Jesus, as is explained in Ephesians 2:1-12, it says we are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. Without hope, without God in the world. Without Jesus, there is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing, no becoming a child of God. No, Jesus is our dearest friend now and forever, and no eternal life in heaven with Jesus. And if we would be in that restaurant or at a meeting in the top tower when a plane hit below us and our life was going to end, we have no eternity with Jesus if we didn't have Jesus. As one person said it, without Jesus, life is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. But God, we love John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5:8 adds, God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In John 14:6, Jesus said it very clearly, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Come through him and have the Father. And Jesus speaks of all of his mission in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal and destroy. I have come so you may have life and have it to the full. I have come so you may have life and have it to the full. A good life is with Jesus now, and a wonderful life is with Jesus eternally. And Jesus came, and Jesus loved, and Jesus taught, and Jesus healed, and Jesus did miracles. Don't ever deny or question the existence of Jesus. All of the world acknowledges that Jesus Christ was a real person on this earth, whether they believe in him or follow him or not. We even date our calendars by him. And the Jesus who had no sin allowed himself to be betrayed, abandoned, falsely accused and judged, mocked, slapped, beaten within an inch of his life, and crucified for you, for me, and for all until he breathed his last breath. And then, Jesus arose. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, the creator and sustainer of this universe. Jesus, the loving and crucified and risen Savior. Jesus who came so all could have a good life with him now and a wonderful life with him eternally. Revelation 3:20 kind of gives us a glimpse of what Jesus wants for all of our lives. It says, Jesus is kind of knocking on the door of all of our hearts. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And John 1:12 adds, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. With Jesus, we gain everything now and eternally. Forgiveness, cleansing, rebirth as his child, Jesus as our friend and God as our heavenly Father. Jesus is our dearest friend now, and when we breathe our last, eternity with Jesus in heaven. This is the good news about God and his love that came to us in Jesus. Please say these words after me. God loves you. God loves everyone. Throughout the Old Testament times, God spoke through his words and through his prophets hundreds of times that there would be one, there would be a deliverer, a savior, a messiah that would come. And all through the years, the people waited and longed for the coming of that messiah. If you read through the first pages of the Gospel of Matthew until you get to chapter 4 of today, you'll find that anxious awaiting for the messiah continues. And then the time came. Read through the passages before that chapter 4, you will find a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, placing Jesus in the womb of a young virgin named Mary. A scared man named Joseph, the turmoil of their being pregnant and unwed, and the appearance and assurance of an angel. You'll find the birth of Jesus, the death plot of Herod, the visit of Magi with gifts for a king, for a deity, and for a death. You find the entrance of a strange fellow named John the Baptizer, who, when he baptized Jesus, a dove descended from heaven and a voice proclaimed from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus began to preach and teach. And the news about him and the words that he preached spread throughout the area. And we pick up the scene in Matthew 4:18. As Jesus was walking beside the Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Most of us are familiar with this scene from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The scene begins with Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. But if you're familiar with the Bible, you know, especially about Jesus, you know that Jesus did everything with a purpose. His interactions with different people, his parables, his whole life was with a purpose. Just as God walking the earth as he created in human skin that he arranged to wear, he knew everything and everyone, even you and me. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, which is a pear-shaped body of water about 12 and a half miles long, 7 miles in its deepest place, and the waters are fresh, clean, and abounding with fish. And Jesus is not taking a leisurely walk down the Ocean City boardwalk. No, he's deliberately walking to a certain spot by the Sea of Galilee for a certain purpose, where he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and it says they were cast in a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. In that time, there were varieties of fishing. There was spearing, there was like today line fishing, and a more common, as in this passage, was net fishing. The nets were circular, having weights around the edges. Fishermen would either stand on the shore or on their boats, and they repeatedly cast the nets into the water and hold onto the lines. The net would drop in over the fish, and they had to then haul in these wet nets with whatever size catch they have. It was hard work. It was difficult work, but it was rewarding work if they caught fish. Jesus called them, and we see in verse 19, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men." He called out to them and he gave them a little simple call that had three parts to it: to come, to follow him, and he will make them fishers of men. Let's camp on that for a minute. When I was a child, my brother and I would go off into the woods into the neighborhood playing. Those are the days when you could do that with our friends, and it was so hard for them to get a hold of us, so my dad bought a dinner bell when it was time for supper. I have that dinner bell. This was hung on the post outside on the back porch, and this is what I would hear from my dad. He'd say, "Jimmy, David." We'd say, "What?" He'd say, "Come." And we came. Jesus' word of "come" is a call, is a kind command, a "stop focusing on what you're doing and listen to me" call. And the implied and expected response is that the "come" will become a listening, will be a movement to follow the "come." When we heard my dad ringing that bell and his voice called to come, we had to change our thoughts from the activity we were about into and begin a movement to follow the call to come. "Come and follow me," he says. You do realize that all of us, every human on the earth, is following something or someone. Some people follow their family or friends and their ways. Some people follow other people on Twitter or Facebook or Reddit or Instagram or YouTube or even Pinterest. Some follow their own spirituality, drawing from a salad bar of philosophy and religion and friends and families and TV and movies. How about you? What are you following? Who are you following? You are following something and someone. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me." And then he adds, "And I will make you fish for people." He's calling common, yet hardworking and intelligent fishermen to follow him. He will use who they are and what their skills are for a much higher eternal purpose: to fish, to draw people to God in his love. What was the response of Peter and Andrew? In verse 20 it says, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Don't go too fast through that. Immediately means without delay, without any passing of time, instantly at once. As soon as they heard Jesus' call to come, to follow him, to be made fishers of men, immediately they dropped and left their nets and took their place by him. Which means they not only left their perfectly good nets on the shore, but their boats, their gear, their belongings, their livelihood, their homes, their spouses, their children, their family, their friends. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. They had longed for the awaited Messiah. They had maybe had heard him and seen him speak and preach. They had heard others telling about him. And when they saw him and he called to them to follow him, immediately they responded and left their nets and followed him. Turn to someone and say, "Drop the net." Thank you. Going on from there, it says in verse 21, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with the father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. So he goes a little further up the coast. He sees another two brothers, James and John, ordinary, everyday fishermen, in a boat with the father Zebedee, and they're preparing, they're fixing their nets for fishing, and Jesus calls them. And what was their response? Verse 22, and immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Again, immediately, without any delay, without any passing of time, all at once, they just picked up, stepped out of the boat, and took their place by him. Which adds force to what following Jesus is all about. You know, when they heard Jesus' call, not only did they leave their nets and their gear and their families and their friends and all that, we actually see in there, they left a perfectly good boat, and sitting in the boat, they left a perfectly good father. Just sitting there. They left all to follow him. Turn to someone and say, "Leave the boat." When Jesus was ending his ministry on earth, he gave his followers, who were disciples, a great commission. Listen to this in Matthew 28. "Therefore go and make disciples," which are followers of all nations, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Go and make disciples, make followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And the disciples, who had left their nets and their boats, their lives, their livelihoods, and their families, went to share the good news of God's love with the world. And Christ's followers went from 12 to thousands to millions and to each one of us today. And Jesus' call for people to come, to put him first in their lives, to follow him, remains to all of us to this day. Jesus calls everyone to come find him, to find his love, and to follow him, even smelly fishermen. These men were not highly educated, but they were intelligent and hardworking. Jesus is not impressed with our degrees. He's impressed with our degree of commitment in following him. And Jesus calls you and me in his love, "Follow me." When you invite Jesus into your life as your Savior and your Lord, it's not so you can just lay back and sleep and say, "Okay, I'm going to heaven, so I don't have anything else to do." No, Jesus wants you to follow him. 92 times in the Gospels, the word "follow" is used. Follow me is not a request or an offer, it requires a decision. To follow means to go the same direction, to walk behind, to imitate their actions, become like their shadow. And Jesus is calling you and me to go the same direction that he does, to walk behind him, to imitate his actions. When people see us, let them see Jesus. So how do we followers become like him? Well, it starts personally. Following Jesus personally. Jesus calls us to turn away from the way we've been living our lives, from whatever we've been following that are not of the true God. He calls us to change our course, to reorient ourselves, to turn around. It means leaving those things that don't follow him behind. It means turning away from whatever is keeping us from fully following him, from honoring him in the areas of our lives. The requirements for following Jesus are not the same for everyone. It may mean there is something about your work, the community, even the family that's keeping us from following Jesus. We may indeed have to change that or leave it behind to follow Jesus. But following Jesus may also mean that Jesus is calling you to stay where you are, to follow him by changing yourself in those situations to ways that will follow Jesus. We need Jesus following people in every area of our society. Jesus following people who honor Jesus and bless Jesus and bless him by honoring him in all that they do and hear. You don't know the joy I feel when I'm out in the community and somebody says to me, "Oh, who are you?" And I introduce myself, "And what do you do?" And I tell them, and they say, "And what church is that?" And I tell them, they go, "Oh, I know somebody from your church," and they tell them those glowing things about you. That is so neat. I love it also when I have an employer who maybe the person's an employer of one of you, and they say, "You know what, I just need to tell you, I think they are the best employee I've got. Wow, does that sound good?" I love that. You know what my response always is to them? Sounds like they need a raise. And they always laugh. I don't know if any of you have gotten it yet. To truly follow Christ means he has become everything to us, that we want to honor him with our whole life. And following Jesus in a world that doesn't follow Jesus is not easy. In Matthew 10, 32 to 39, Jesus says some serious things about following him, and this is what it's about. "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." He's not trying to cause you to sit and fight and bicker, but he's trying to say, don't let anybody and anything keep you from Jesus. I applaud in every church I've been in those of you that live in a relationship, a family, a marriage, friends, co-workers that may mock you because you follow Jesus. I commend you because you're here, even if they're not with you. We pray for you, we encourage you, that you are saying, "I will follow Jesus no matter what anybody else says." Reminds me of the story of a wife whose husband was always giving her a hard time about Jesus and following Jesus and going to church and her being religious and all this. I think he felt a little guilty about it, but he just kept working on it, and she just prayed and prayed, "What do I do?" And they would fight and fight and fight after church when she came home, and finally one day she quit fighting. And she made him his favorite dinner for Sunday. She gave him a back rub that night before bed. And she did special things for him all during the week. And he finally said, "Okay, I don't get it. I'm the one that always is attacking you and mocking you about your religious thing, your Jesus thing, your follower Jesus. How come you're being so nice to me?" She said, "Well, honey, last Sunday I was in church and I realized that unless you one day invite Jesus into your heart, you won't be with me in heaven. And that would break my heart. So as a wife who loves you with all my heart, I'm going to give you all the heaven on earth I can until that day comes." He came to know Christ later. Following Jesus means learning from him daily through his word. Following Jesus means disciplining yourself under his word and will. Following Jesus means that he has become everything to you. Following Jesus means we do not follow anyone or anything else but Jesus. Following Jesus means that you've taken yourself off the throne of your heart and have placed Jesus there, invited him to take that place instead. Following Jesus means making him the most important person in your heart, your life, and your world. Following Jesus means to begin viewing others through his eyes. Following Jesus means there will be a giving up of certain attitudes, actions, and prejudices that don't honor him or the people we're to love. Following Jesus is not easy, but it'll produce in us what God wants, and that is a wonderful, God-loving heart. We also need to follow Jesus, not just individually, but as a church. Following Jesus means we show Jesus as a church. All that we say and do inside here should follow Jesus. All that we say inside and outside of these doors should follow Jesus. I get the biggest kick out of people in every one of my churches They'll be saying something, and I'll walk into the room, and they'll say, oh, don't say that, the pastor's here. Or don't say that, you're in church. Well, if you can't say it with the pastor here, and you can't say it in church, you shouldn't be saying it out there either, amen? Amen. Following Jesus has a consistency. You're the same out there as you are in here, and I hope you're following Jesus in here. Following Jesus means that we show Jesus as a church. It calls us to do people fishing as well. We're to go, we're to make disciples. You realize Gaithersburg has been identified as the most diverse community in the United States of America. Pathways Baptist Church has over 21 nations represented here. No matter who you meet inside these doors or outside these doors, we're to love them as God loves them, treat them as Jesus would, pray for them, and let them see the love of Jesus in us. Now that's people fishing. Today, Jesus looks at each one of us where we are and says, come, follow me. Do you hear him? Invite him into your heart as your Savior. Drop your nets. Step out of your boat. Trust him. Follow him. And honor him in your life. There was a young college student in his sophomore year of college. He was taking classes to be an oceanographer. He had a vision and passion for cultivating the water of the earth that covers 72% of the earth to help feed the world. What a vision. He was enjoying his classes in biology and ecosystem dynamics, ocean currents, geophysical fluid dynamics, plate tectonics, and geology. And one day, as he was walking on the sidewalk to one of his classes, inside, he heard a voice, an understanding. And that voice was saying, it was Jesus calling him to follow him. But to follow him not as an oceanographer, but to follow him as a pastor. And on that sidewalk, he did not respond like those early disciples, immediately dropping the nets or stepping out of the boat. A real struggle broke out between him and God. I don't want to be a pastor. I've watched pastors. They work long hours. They're not home a lot. They have to put up with so much stuff. And the only time they get near water is to bathe, swim, or baptize somebody. But in time, the student submitted to God's call to follow him, to be a pastor. And 37 years later, he is the senior pastor of Pathways Baptist Church. And he is having the time of his life. Jesus may not call you to be a pastor. We need followers of Jesus in every occupation, in every level of this world. You following Jesus, shining the light for Jesus, honoring Jesus where you are, and showing the love of Jesus everywhere. Come, follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Of people. Drop your nets, step out of your boat, and follow him. Come, let us pray. Father God, help us, no matter where we are, Lord, to first of all hear your call of your love. To, Lord, hear of all how you've loved us and you gave your all for us on the cross. And how, Lord, we should respond by asking you to forgive us our sins. Let your sacrifice, Lord, pay the price for our sins, and let us, Lord, to be cleansed, be born in you, become your children now and forever, by inviting you into our hearts as our Savior and Lord, the first following. Then, Lord, as followers, as Christians, Christ ones, let us hear your call to follow your word, to follow your ways, to put away, to drop the nets, step out of the boats that are holding us back from following you, and, Lord, to know that we have a new purpose. Whether we're an oceanographer or a pastor or whatever level we are, Lord, but to follow you there, to show you there, to shine for you there. Lord, help us to follow you and let the world see what it's like to see people who can do all those things, just like those early smelly fishermen, Lord, who are intelligent and skilled as we are. But Lord, they loved Jesus and they followed him. Help us to show the world what it looks like. To have Jesus in our hearts and to be following him with our lives. Help us to do that individually, and Lord, please, as a church, as the first motto, the first line of our mission statement is, following Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.